Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
About 1 minute before we begin, and if you have the booklet of materials with you, we are on page 15, and if you'd like to follow along and take notes and have it for reference or whatever, 15, 16, and 17, what we'll be covering today. And let me just mention that when we have more time, we often move on from this lesson and talk about how to instill honor in your children and some tips, particularly for parenting younger children. So I refer to this as bonus material. We don't have time to go through it in our limited lessons we are able to do in the time I'm with you, but I wanted to leave you the material that follows this introductory lesson. So that's what that's about. Those are just bonus outlines. Brent Romine, my namesake, thought that would be a good idea, and I agree with him. So that's kind of important to keep in mind as we kind of get started this morning. Okay, it's 9 o'clock, so we'll jump right into this. Let's go ahead and have a prayer before we start. Noble, would you like to lead us in prayer? Can you be heard? Let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. Thankful for the past night's rest that we've had and for this another day, this Lord's Day. We're thankful, Father, for the study that we're going through. We're thankful for Brent being here with us. We pray that you would be with us this morning and be with him as he leads us in our discussion. Help us all, Father, to look to you and to your word to help guide us, to mold us. Help us to live better lives in your sight. Pray, Father, that you forgive us of our sins. Help us always to serve you. This is our prayer in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. This is just one of many things that you can find available on the internet now, trying to tell people, parents, teachers, how to deal with disrespectful children. And some of their advice is okay, some of it not so much. But one thing is certain, we are dealing today with a culture of disrespect, dishonor on just so many different levels. Wilson Adams wrote the following. I liked what he had to say here. He said, "The culture of disrespect that is pervasive among children in the United States is less so in other countries and cultures. In the U.S., you will find kids in almost every classroom who disrespect the teacher, undermine authority, and inflict mayhem." You say, well, that's nothing new. True. But what is new is teachers used to consult with parents who would make attitudinal adjustments and correct the problem of misbehavior. But those days are long gone. Have we forgotten how to parent? One writer tells of visiting an American school in an upper-class neighborhood. The teacher stopped several times to warn students about interrupting and misbehavior. And as she was talking, one of the boys belched loudly and then said, "Oh, just shut up." The embarrassed teacher responded calmly and said, "That is uncalled for and rude." "Oh, I'm sorry," the boy said. "Please shut up." And all the other students giggled. I can't imagine being a school teacher in the culture of disrespect. Those individuals have my utmost respect and admiration. My youngest sister was a school teacher and retired early because in the school system she was at in Hillsborough County, Florida, she just didn't enjoy teaching anymore. She spent so much time trying to discipline and keep order in the classroom that she couldn't really teach her subject. And it's just really sad to see what is all around us. And in that context, what we find the Bible telling us, which is so important, is the simple admonition. This comes from Exodus 20 and verse 12, where Moses says, "Honor your father and your mother," which is the foundation of all respect, I think. You don't honor your own mother and father, you're not going to honor other things around you. That your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. That's why this is referred to as the first commandment with promise. Now, it's really interesting. In the New Testament, this is repeated. Apostle Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, when my wife was parenting our children when they were young, we had two daughters, Amy and Allison, she would say, now, the Bible says that if you listen to your mom and dad and do what we say, that you'll live a long life. And so, you know, a parent tells a child, don't play in traffic because you're concerned about your children's safety, then they're less likely to, you know, have problems with car accident or something like that. And so I told my wife that though I thought that was true, that parents usually give good admonitions to their children to keep them safe, and you don't listen to those admonitions, you might find yourself in trouble. But I didn't really think what the first commandment with promise here was. Notice, he says that if you honor your father and mother, you'll live long upon the land which I have given you. So, theologically, this idea of honoring father and mother back in the days of Moses was connected with the land promise. Was the land given unconditionally to the Israelites? No, it was a conditional covenant, and they would lose it, Moses told them, and the prophets told them over and over again, if they forsook the Lord and bowed down to idols and didn't obey God, that eventually God would bring about the curses of the covenant, and they'd lose the land. And that's exactly what happened first to Israel, and then about 150 years later, to the nation of Judah. So that puts this in the proper context. So what he's saying is, if you honor your father and mother, then you're more likely to honor God and his covenant. And if you honor God and his covenant, then you're going to keep the land. I believe that Israel would still have the land if they hadn't rebelled against God. They lost it because of their unfaithfulness. So that really shows us the importance of teaching children respect for authority when they're young at home. And if they don't learn respect for mom and dad, they probably will not respect God himself. In fact, I think what you do is you teach your children respect for God and honor him, and then you honor the parents because that's what God wants you to do. That's a part of God's will. When my kids were small, I said, listen, we insist that you honor us, not because of some ego thing. Like we're trying to say, you know, we're better than you, you know. We have responsibilities as a parent, and we're going to have to give an account before God to how we parent you and whether we nurture you in the admonition of the Lord properly. And so God tells us to teach you to honor us. And so we do this as a way to honor God. And we're a family that honors God. And I just think that's really important to understand. And it is very important and fundamental. A key foundational principle of parenting is to make sure that you do not allow disrespect or dishonor. Years ago, I used to go to a lady by the name of Valerie. And I would go regularly there to have my hair cut. And it was really interesting. We got to know each other pretty well. We'd have ongoing conversations about every 3 weeks or so. And she would talk about how that her nephews and nieces were brats, and she didn't enjoy being around them or around the kids. And most people who come in and bring their kids there weren't very well behaved. And so she and her husband decided they didn't want to bring another brat into the world. And so they decided by choice not to have children. And more people by choice, as a lifestyle choice, are choosing not even to bother to have children. Which, as a little sidelight, seems very amazing to me, because in biblical times, the worst curse that a woman could feel was to be barren and not to be able to have children, because children are viewed in the Bible as a heritage from Jehovah and one of life's greatest blessings. And here we live in a secular culture where they're just viewed as somebody that gets in the way of your lifestyle. But at any rate, that this lady said that she and her husband had decided that they would have Doberman Pinschers. They really liked dogs, and particularly Doberman Pinschers. And she would say, you know what? We don't ever have to pay for a sitter for our Dobermans. And we don't have to worry about saving up for a college education. And she kept on giving all these advantages of having Doberman Pinschers over having kids. And I would take the other side and I said, I can't believe you're comparing pets to the precious souls of children. And I would tell her, what's going to happen in your old age when the Doberman Pinschers are dead and you have no grandchildren? I said, have you really thought this through very well? And she goes, I don't care. I mean, kids today, they're just so disrespectful. I just don't want to have anything to do with it. I go, well, you're assuming that you don't have any control over that. I said, you know, I know the jury's still out, but my two daughters, I think they were like, you know, 7 and 9 at the time. I said, they're respectful and they're a joy to be around, and they behave themselves when they come into establishments like this. And most of the people where I worship, their kids are respectful, and their kids that are a blessing. And I wish you could come and worship with us and get to know these families that are, you know, doing their best to train up their children properly. And she said, well, what do you think the difference is? I said, well, the difference is if you believe in God as we do, and you understand the importance of instilling faith and honor in your children, it's just foundational to everything. And then the actions follow because they've got a heart that has a love for God. And out of that heart, they honor their mom and dad. And that was just sort of beyond her comprehension. But we've actually found over the years that having godly, respectful children is one of the greatest evangelistic tools. And we would often have people comment on it, and I would give them a visitation card. I call it a Lord's business card. It has a map and service times, and invite them to services. If you want to understand how this is done, come to the North Street Church of Christ, where I used to preach, and you can learn those kind of principles. And what we're talking about today is just so needed and important. The late Rodney Dangerfield, he was a comic, stand-up comic, and he would always have this shick where he would talk about, I just don't get no respect, and he would talk about different things, and he was pretty funny the way he talked about not getting respect. But when you have disrespect from your own offspring, and especially if you tolerate it as a part of the culture of disrespect, I agree with Shakespeare, who said that sharper than a serpent's fang is a thankless child. I mean, it's one thing when some stranger disrespects you on the road or something. It's another thing when your own offspring, your own flesh and blood, is angry and bitter and got a chip on their shoulder, and they talk disrespectfully to their own parents. When I see that, it's like nails on a chalkboard. And I feel so sorry for those family and for those children who haven't been taught better. And so we need to understand that it certainly is true that in our culture today, in most instances, when it comes to teaching respect for authority figures, and it all starts at home, we're certainly going the wrong way. I got a kick years ago out of seeing a picture of this woman with her crown on her head, and she's the queen of her home, and somebody put on this picture. This is what things are like before kids. And then you take that same picture and you turn it on its side, turn the woman upside down, and this is what life is like after kids. And I just think that's kind of clever. And the point is that children will age you. And if you have disrespectful children, if they're brats, as my friend Valerie would say, they will put you in an early grave. And it's not much of a blessing to have children around when they're sportinitude, as my wife would say. And so let's talk about how critical and foundational this is, and kind of understand what the Bible has to say about this subject. First thing I want you to notice is what Webster's Dictionary says about this. It says, high respect as to someone's worth or rank is how they define honor. Official dignity to hold someone in public esteem or to give credit, fame, or glory. So, I like the fact that rank is emphasized here because I think that's very biblical. You know, parents may even be in sin or not be very honorable, but just because they're your mom and dad, they still deserve some measure of respect. Now, I'm blessed to have both my mom and my father when he was alive. My mom just turned 95 the day before yesterday. I'm really blessed to still have her around. And so it was easy to honor my father and mother because they were honorable people. And I hope we can all be parents that our children can honor because we're good people. And we're doing our best, not perfect, but we're doing our best to be good parents. But even if you have parents that are not very nice people, and that happens sometimes, not honorable people, a lot of the people that I'm able to study the gospel with that become Christians, they come from dysfunctional families, and they didn't have a good upbringing, and oftentimes their parents were abusive. And one of the things I have to talk to them about is their attitude toward their abusive parents. And there still needs to be a sense of honor. You don't accept their misbehavior, but because they're still your mom and dad, you have to figure out some way to talk respectfully to them, to pray God's blessings upon them, maybe to remember the dad on Father's Day, and still show honor simply because they're your mom and dad. And this idea of rank is really, really important. And we need to instill this idea that God works through lines of authority, not just in the home, but even in the culture at large. I can remember many years ago, I was coming down the hall and Gail was dressing our second child, Allison. She was only like 5 or 6, I think. And there's Gail taking this moment as a teachable moment. And she said, "Now, Allison, I want you to know that I'm your mother, I'm the parent, and you need to obey and respect me. And Dad is the head of our home, and we all need to obey and respect him. I respect him as your father and as my husband. But most importantly, we're a family that honors God, and because of that, we honor and respect God above everything." And I remember about that time, I'd heard this conversation, I kind of turned around and I looked at Allison and she got this big kind of innocent, sweet smile on her face as if God is in his heaven, is all, is right with the world. Children need to understand there are different levels and there are different authorities over them and to respect those levels of authority. And a part of that is respecting not just mom and dad, but respecting grown-ups, period. And that starts at a very young age. And children that have these clearly defined boundaries are happier. They're more content. Because that is sort of the way God set up the world. I think about what happened with David and Saul. Here's an example where Saul had left God, so God had left him. And he was trying to protect his throne, not by being righteous to God, but by trying to kill David, who was his competition, and that had already been anointed by Samuel as the next king. And I just marvel. I think in the Bible there, 2 Samuel is teaching us what it really means to be a man after God's own heart. And Samuel, of course, is there, and he's advising David. And 2 times David has an opportunity to kill Saul, which he could have argued was in self-defense against a wicked king. But instead, what did he say each time? He couldn't bring himself to do what? Yes, exactly right. He didn't want to raise a hand against God anointed. He was still, David was thinking, his king, and God had anointed him at one point to be king. And instead of running ahead of God, he was going to just wait for God to put him on the throne rather than for him to kill the king of Israel. And so over and over again, he shows respect for Saul because he is the king, not because he was deserving of respect. And we just need to remind ourselves in the political realm, for example, that, you know, we're supposed to pray for the authorities that are over us. And, you know, we may disagree with the president or certain political leaders. I certainly do. But we need to do so respectfully because we're supposed to pray for the authorities that are over us. It's not easy at times. But we need to model respect before our children if we expect them to, you know, show the proper honor and respect for us as mom and dad. And so all of these things are connected in the family, and they all work together. If your children witness you talking disrespectfully about your employer or about government authorities and your sportinitude about certain things about life, well, they're listening. They're observing that. And don't be surprised when they tend to be disrespectful to you because it was modeled before them. So some of this goes back to mom and dad. And ladies, if you talk to your children behind your husband's back negatively about their dad and you're disrespectful to their father and to your husband, on what basis are you going to demand that they show the proper respect for you as the parent? And so your kids are watching. They see disrespect in this culture all around them, and they need to see that your family is an oasis of people who respect the people over them and give certain kinds of honor to people simply because of their rank before God. Abraham Lincoln is one of my favorite presidents. He said, "No one is so blessed as he who was born into the home of a godly mother and father." Amen. And Solomon talked about the fact that children that are born into a home where the father walks in integrity, that they are blessed and shall follow after them. So blessed that I had a father who just was the picture of integrity in so many ways. And I stand in his shadow even to this day, though he's been dead for 13 years. Still has an influence on me. And so you parents need to really think about, what am I modeling before my children? And am I demonstrating an example of honor before God in all these different areas? And then I can talk to my children about, I respect you as a child. I admonished you and I give you discipline, but I don't disrespect you. And you're not going to disrespect me. And most children will try it, and you just have to make sure that when that comes, that you're ready for it, and you don't allow disrespect to be tolerated. Vines, in his Dictionary of New Testament Words, says, honor is putting high value upon a person, esteeming them highly, including providing financial support. And so the Bible often uses the term honor in this connection. For example, people are supposed to take care of their own. But if family members are not around or unwilling, then there are times where a widow might be on the church's roll. They talk about somebody being a widow indeed. And that is one of the ways you could honor the aged that needed financial support. And when it says elders are worthy of double honor, it's talking in that context about not just having the honor of their office, but nothing wrong with supporting elders financially if they need it so they can be full-time. In fact, if you study church history, you'll find that that was more the norm rather than the exception, that it was the shepherds who got support. And it was the preachers who went out to do evangelism that got support. And so there's nothing wrong with supporting a shepherd to do his work. And the Bible says when that happens, the elders are worthy of double honor. And so grown children need to understand that this principle is true. There's really no age limit. I mean, even at my age, I still respect my mom and should honor her greatly. This isn't just talking about some five-year-old that needs to honor their parent in the home. Even as you get older, you still, in a special way, need to honor your father and mother. And in the Bible, one of the ways you did that was if your aged parents needed support, they didn't have Social Security and all these government programs back then. And so it was very common for people to try to get out of helping to support their aged parents. And in so doing, they dishonored their mother and their father. Today, that's usually not that much of an issue financially, but sometimes aged parents are just neglected, and they're not visited and shown the proper esteem that they deserve. So honor, of course, is not just between parents and children. Wives are to honor each other, wives and husbands, according to 1 Peter 3. So wives and husbands, husbands and wives, citizens are supposed to honor the king. Now I want you to think about how hard that must have been to honor the king, which in this context, when Peter wrote it, would have been Nero. I mean, Nero was a despicable character, really despicable. He blamed the Christians for burning down Rome. He literally tortured them by lighting them, a flame in his garden. He presented the head of his first wife to his second wife as a wedding gift, and then later got into a brawl with her and kicked her down the stairs, and she lost her child, and later on she was killed. I mean, unbelievable wickedness. And what's the admonition? You honor Nero. You don't honor him in the sense, oh, isn't he so wonderful? But he's still the king that is over you. Now, that's hard to do. But we need to understand that's what we're called to do as Christians. And of course, in general, the young people are to honor and respect their elders. And that's not just elders in the sense of shepherds, but just elderly people. The book of Leviticus talks about how important it is to rise up before the hoary head or the white-headed person. You show respect for the aged rather than disrespect. Lack of honor is an age-old problem. I want you to listen to this quote. This particular quote is very interesting to me. Let's see if I can find it here. Here we go. It says, children now love luxury, they have bad manners, they show disrespect to elders and love chatter in the place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not servants of the household. They no longer rise when elders enter the room, they contradict their parents, they chatter before company, they gobble up the dainties of the table and terrorize their teachers. Now, you would think that was something that was written fairly recently during this age of disrespect, but that actually comes from Socrates, and was written 2,400 years ago, and as he was talking about the decline of the Grecian culture of his day. You see, history repeats itself. And ultimately, these ancient civilizations crumbled, in part because the families crumbled, just like we see happening all around us today in the world. And I think of Job, one of the most noble men that ever lived and was faithful in spite of great suffering. One of the things that he says in Job 19 is that the young children despised me. I arose and they spake against me. So here's this godly man who is suffering terribly, and instead of being an object of compassion and pity, apparently some of the children of his day just berated him and made fun of him as he sat there in sackcloth and ashes. You know, without the right kind of guidance, sometimes children can bully and really be mean-spirited, actually. And Job says that's one of the things that increased his suffering. In Job 30, it says, They are the children of fools, yea, children of base men. They abhor me, they stand aloof from me, and spare not to spit in my face. Isn't that terrible? Job had to endure that. Notice he doesn't blame the children. Who does he blame? The parents who were not supervising the children and allowed them to do this kind of thing. And so we as parents need to understand the importance of being present and constantly role-playing and teaching our children how to honor us. I had a rule in my home. We made the family dinner hour almost sacred. We'll talk a little bit more about that this evening. But I remember one time we were having a family discussion and my oldest daughter, Amy, says, "You're just wrong about that, Dad." And I said, "Ooh, Amy, that may be right. But can you think about how you can express that to me in a more respectful manner as your dad?" She goes, "Oh, Dad, do you think you might be mistaken about that?" And I said, "Oh, that sounds so much better. Thank you, Amy. Yes, it wouldn't be the first time I've been mistaken about something. So why do you think I'm mistaken about that? It's always okay to come to us with your feelings, but you have to do so respectfully." And so role play, help the kids know the difference between just not saying anything and saying something respectfully. Sometimes we get into a discussion when my daughters were teens and they'd want to roll their eyes at us. And I'd say, "No, no, that's not allowed here. That's disrespectful. We don't roll our eyes at you and you don't roll your eyes at mom and dad. Let's try that again." And so you just instill that early on until that becomes the way they understand is the right way to be. It's also interesting when you look at ancient Israel and the reason for the fall of the northern kingdom. This is what Isaiah says about that, who lived during this time. He says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith Jehovah, that take counsel but not of me, and that make a league but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Now go write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever." In other words, later on they're going to be in captivity and they're going to wonder how we get in this mess. And Isaiah says, "This is how you got in this mess. For it is a rebellious people, lying children, and children that will not hear the law of Jehovah." Of course, the problem here is that parents let that happen. So once again, that explains how this is the first commandment with promise. They lost the land because of disrespect for their parents and for God. And it is fundamental to everything we do. Found this study years ago. In 1940, they started a study about the top offenses in public schools. And they've continued to do some of these studies. I want you to notice the contrast. In 1940, the top offense in public schools was students talking when they weren't supposed to be talking, chewing gum. What a bunch of ruffians in 1940. Making noise when they weren't supposed to, running in the halls, getting out of turn in line, my, my. And wearing improper clothes and not putting paper in the waste paper basket. I mean, these were a bunch of litter bugs back in the 40s. That was the list of complaints that the teachers had for their students. Now, in 2010, they did another study. I'm sure it hasn't improved much since then. And they said, well, now the biggest problems in public schools are rape and robbery and assault and burglary and arson and bombings and, sadly, suicide, drug abuse and drug pushing, alcohol abuse and gangs, pregnancies, abortions, and venereal disease. Wow, what a contrast. What has happened to our culture? Well, first of all, they kicked God out of schools. And they're taught now that they're part of Darwinian evolution. So they're not really a soul that has to have an account one day before God. So there's no God-fearing here because they don't even believe in judgment. And everything's relative. It's situation ethics. It's humanism. And so a lot of young people committing suicide. The most recent report was that it's higher now than it has ever been, especially among young people. It's among young people and older people. It's like younger people feel like there's nothing to live for, and older people feel like they've lived for nothing. And that's what happens when you have no real purpose in life and no faith. There's a lot of people that are angry and bitter, and a lot of it simply is because they don't have any kind of spiritual background. Do you know that one half of all the violent crimes in the U.S. takes place by people 18 years old and younger without a dad in the home? You know, the last 25 mass shootings, which is awful, the media wants to blame the gun. And I'm not against trying to keep guns out of people that shouldn't have them. But the guns don't walk up and just have a life of their own. There's some human being behind that gun that doesn't value human life. 24 out of the last 25 shooters were atheists, didn't have a dad around. So why don't we focus on the source of the real problem, people not recognizing the sanctity of human life and the human soul and the breakdown of the family? And it all starts with this very simple principle of honor father and mother. It's really important that parents cultivate an attitude of respect. And I think it really starts with the nonverbal defiance. Like I mentioned, you know, the rolling of the eyes and the tone of voice. Think about Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and despises to obey his mother. This is how God feels about that kind of rebellious attitude. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Wow, that is some strong language. Don't allow that disrespectful attitude to take root and then put up with it in your home. Start with the bad attitude, and you won't have to worry about the bad behaviors. You must cultivate an attitude of respect, for every man is to obey and fear his mother and father. Because if you are disrespectful, there's going to be an appropriate punishment. And watch the talking back. You know, you call your children, don't let them say, yeah, or what. How about, yes, dad, yes, mom? Or here in the South, you might even say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Right? Is that still done around here? Up in the Pacific Northwest, people think that's just bizarre. Okay, say yes, mom, and yes, dad. But show respect. And don't allow your children to ignore you. You're calling them to dinner, and they just ignore you calling them to dinner. It's a way to disrespect mom and dad. I'd have to get up and I'd say, don't you disrespect your mother who worked so hard on this meal? You put the computer game away and you're called to dinner. You come the first time. Don't make us have to call you the second and third time. So let's try that again. Gail, call him to dinner. Kids, come to dinner. Yes, mom, stop what they're doing. Come to dinner. Come to the family dinner hour. You're the parent. You're in charge. And you need to teach them respectful behavior. If you do that, they're going to be good kids. It's so important and yet so neglected. Discipline attitudes and behaviors will take care of themselves. And all you have to do is just be consistent, particularly when they're young, and eventually they just learn, I'm going to talk respectful to my dad and to my mom. And frankly, they won't tolerate disrespect, and neither should you. And that's the best thing you can do for your children, because this is literally the foundation of society. I think it's significant that it is listed fifth in the order of the Ten Commandments. I don't think we neglect the Ten Commandments. We really shouldn't. It's very profound. The first four has to do with our relationship with God. And then after 5 through 10, we have 6 that has to do with our relationship with our fellow man. So we start off with, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why? Because there's one God. Then we're told that you should not worship God with a graven image. Why? Because God is a spirit. Then we're told that we should not take the Lord's name in vain. Why? Because God is holy and he above all should be honored. And then we're told to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Why? Because God is a God of deliverance. Now, are those principles about God still true? Absolutely. See, the first day that they left Egyptian bondage was Friday night, and Saturday was the first day of freedom. So they associated the Sabbath with God being their deliverer. And that is still true. God is still our Savior, our deliverer. Teach your children about God. He is one, he is a spirit, he is holy, he's the God of deliverance. He's the place where we ought to put our hope. And then when you talk about 5 through 10, you shift over to how do we deal with a workable society? You start with your relationship with your fellow man next. And what is mentioned first? Honor father and mother. Because that's the foundation of everything. Have respect for mother and father. What's next? Thou shalt not kill or murder. Why? Because you have to have respect for the sanctity of human life. We're all made in God's image. God's people don't even consider that kind of thing. And don't commit adultery. Why? Because you need to have respect for your marriage vows. And don't steal. Why? You have respect for other people's property. And don't bear false witness. Don't lie. Why? Because you need to have respect for truth. Don't even think about taking your neighbor's wife or taking his belongings. Guard your thoughts and don't covet. The thing I love about this is if you violate the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. And so if you have covetous in your heart, you violated the first commandment, which is only worship God. Isn't that interesting how they all kind of come together? One of the things you need to have your children memorize early on is the Ten Commandments and these principles. Now teach them that we worship God now on Sunday and not on Saturday. But the real point of the Sabbath still applies. He's the God of deliverance. And all of these things tell us what we need to do to have a society that works and that's functional. And we've got a society now that's filled with all kind of lawlessness. I saw a news article about Hyundai as a car maker is being sued because somebody thinks they've made it too easy to steal their cars. And so the problem with the increased car theft is the car companies who don't, you know, make their cars just almost a Fort Knox of security. That is just so bizarre. I don't care if your car is unlocked. You shouldn't steal it. It's not the fault of the person who maybe forgot to lock their car. It's the fault of the person that has a bad heart that takes somebody else's property that doesn't belong to them. All goes back to the heart, and it is so critical. So why is honoring parents so foundational? If not, where do you find the basis to honor teachers and policemen and elders in a local congregation and even your marriage vows? You ever known a vandal or delinquent who honored his or her parents? I haven't. They've all got a heart that has been poisoned in some way. And so just like the tongue is a ladle from the heart, the vandal with his vandalism is basically acting out with his hands a heart that is filled with anger and bitterness and disrespect. And so it all goes back to the heart. Why is parenting so foundational? If children are not taught to respect us whom they can see, how do we expect them to ever respect God whom they cannot see? And you know, people often view God through the lens that they view their earthly father. And so if they have a bad relationship with their earthly father, it's hard for them to want to be close to their heavenly father. And so once again, so much of this is the modeling of the parents. Am I overdoing this? Is this hyperbole about how important this is? I don't think so. Not respecting parents in the Old Testament was a capital crime. Anyone have a rebellious son that will not obey the voice of his parents, someone 13 years or older? And if you tried to deal with them as a parent and you brought them to the elders and the elders couldn't deal with it, this is just a rebel. God wanted to remove the rebels from society and it was the death penalty. Now that sounds so barbaric. I'm not suggesting this be reinstituted. But it does show how serious this is to God. And in Matthew 15:4, he that speaks evil of his father and mother, let him die the death. There's 10 capital crimes in the Old Testament. And, you know, one of them is basically disobeying and dishonoring mother and father, committing adultery, committing blasphemy, speaking against God. Capital crimes. Why? Because they're that serious to God. The question is, are they serious to you? And so one of the things you do not want to put up with is disrespect in your home. Now, an important suggestion here is save corporal punishment for acts of defiance. That's my recommendation, just suggestion. So we didn't use corporal punishment in our home unless there was a, you know, we tell them to do something and they say no. You know, some sort of defiance, some sort of disrespect. That's when they got what we called the teacher. It was a little switch that we used on the back of their leg. But it got their attention, and it taught them how serious this offense is. Disrespect is the worst thing you can do. And so, fortunately, we have very loving, respectful children. And that's what I want for each of you. It's the source of a godly family. Just remember, dishonor, disrespect is serious. It is not funny. And we're not talking about technical obedience, but the right attitude. And a parent's responsibility is to teach their children respect, and it must be instilled very early because it is the foundation of everything that parents do. We must teach our children to honor us as parents so they will honor God as adults. Amen? Okay, I was hoping we'd have a little time for discussion, but we're out of time. And I just appreciate your being here. Appreciate the young people here sitting up front. And I hope this is helpful to everyone. And if you want to have more specific ideas about how to apply these things, that's what the bonus material is for. So hopefully you can look at that bonus material at your own time. All right. We'll break for the upcoming worship, which is going to come soon. And again, thank you for your presence. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening and we hope to see you in person soon.